on its agricultural infrastructure keep expanding, and its insatiable thirst for water shows no sign of easing. If there is an exit from ramp to this particular highway, a method to avoid the pileup just ahead, it's unclear where it is or how it can be accessed. Water rights activists have long called for more equitable distribution of water, for more infrastructure to secure drinking water in poor rural communities in particular, and for a move away from the most water-intensive crops and most water-wasteful practices in areas with dwindling groundwater supplies. Now, as the global water and food crisis intensifies, these issues are acquiring critical importance on social justice campaigns, not just in the US, but around the world.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear listeners, sisters and brothers, welcome to Youth Station. This is IRB English Radio. Once more, I have the honor to be your host. And here with me, I have Bita, my dear friend. Assalamu alaikum, Bita.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Bita, and I'm really honored to be here to talk to you about our topic.
Of course, it's a pleasure to meet you here. What are you studying?
Actually, this year I passed the university entrance examination.
So wish you luck.
Yes, thank
you. How was it?
It was good. I could be accepted in my favorite university.
Which is?
Which is the University of Iran in Tehran. And I want to study medicine, actually.
So, yeah. That's very great.
Thank you very much. It was always my favorite major to study.
You must have been a very assiduous girl.
It was really difficult. It was a kind of long road to achieve this achievement, actually. But I'm really happy to stay here and to have the honor to cure people. And one day I will give life to other people.
Yeah.
It is physically.
That's the goal of all the students who study science.
Yeah.
That's their goal, to help people and find cures.
But it's not a cliche for me.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, people are different and they have different notions. So wish you luck with that.
Thank
and
you
I
very
hope
much.
You get the desired result you that too. You're waiting for. Do you think as a youth you have any problem?
Yes, of course. You know, we are living in a society that has especially standards. Mm-hmm. You know, for meeting these standards, you have to do something. You have to face many obstacles. And you cannot just turn around these obstacles. You have to face them. You have to solve them. And there is nothing like, for example, to cut this long road. You have to go through it. You have to mm-hmm. do anything you have in your power to achieve what you want. And in this road, I think it's natural to have some problems. First of all, I think one of my biggest problems is that I don't have stable feelings and emotions.
Oh, yeah, that's very common.
Yeah. For example, I cannot decide, I'm really certain and sure about this decision. No, I cannot tell that because I'm not sure about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, a natural problem for this
age. Welcome to the club. It's very natural to everyone, I guess.
Yeah,
so
exactly. For this generation and this age, it's a natural thing. But actually, it's a problem.
Yes, it needs to be solved because
exactly.
at a certain level, it's going to turn into a really, really disaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, it reminded me of a beautiful quote from Imam Ali alayhi salam, that when, for example, when you have feeling for something, when you love something, your sight and your hearing will lose its power to see the reality. And you cannot tolerate any disagreement or anything against the object of devotion that you have.
Yeah, that's very true. So it's another problem, you know?
I know that, exactly. And so for finding friend or even in my routine communication, even I have problems. And
Are you an introvert?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
I don't
you worry. Are.
Yeah, yes, I am. I
that's
am.
Why you have problem with communicating.
Yeah, I'm not shy or something, but... You know, I cannot express
at least
my
you
feelings
look shy.
The way I want to. I look?
Yes.
Thank you. But the thing is, you know, I cannot express my feelings with words. It's really hard to find the best word.
Yeah, usually words are not enough to convey the meanings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And always there is a gap between what you really want to say and what you say.
So, up until now... let me just make it clear that we are talking about the problems of the modern youth.
Yeah.
One of the problems that you counted was?
About the problems that you have with your feelings and emotions, expressing them.
Yes, expressing feelings and emotions and also indecisiveness.
Yeah.
You cannot say whether your decision is right or wrong.
Exactly.
And you cannot make sure if it is your last decision.
Exactly.
And we said that sometimes is very much common and natural because I do feel that way as well. Dear listeners, this is IRB English Radio. Don't leave us, please. Just go for a little break and I'll be back in no time.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
There are too much more of these sort of problems.
Yeah.
If I count another one, I would say laziness is another
problem.
Because youth is actually the spring of your life. When you are not giving it enough value, when you are not making the most of it, then there would come a time that you would regret it.
Exactly.
They would say that, oh my God, time has passed and I've done nothing. Exactly. Though I could have been something really, really different. You might have been, I don't know, a doctor. You might have been a physician, anything.
Anything.
You might have been a help to humanity, but you have wasted all your lifetime using your cell phone doing nothing.
Exactly. I wanted to tell the same thing somehow.
Yeah.
You know, I think the main problem is because of our society or our culture, I don't know what is the reason, but for example, when the kids are kids, they want to grow up too fast. They want to involve themselves in some economic matters, some financial matters that these matters are not related
to them. They
have
big dreams.
Exactly. But for example, when they have a kind of family that will protect them, will somehow support them in this wrong way, they will become an adult in young ages. That is a big disaster because when they become older, when they become youth, when they become teenagers, they feel like there is something empty in their lives.
You mean that they have a materialistic point of view?
Exactly. And for just filling this emptiness in their souls, they would do anything. They'll waste their time in relations that...
And even they might go to some extremes that would cross the borders.
Exactly. And they want to do anything to feel this, no matter what it is, no matter how wrong it is, and no matter what effect it has.
At whatever cost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you cannot find the person who is worth to blame here, because all the people have some faults here for this future that is going to be a disaster. Because, for example, when you come for 40 years old and you see you're nothing, you achieve nothing in your life.
Well,
and
you know, there's another thing as well. Bita, something has happened to modern youth since we're talking to youth.
Yes.
I would say, again, I would blame internet because it has brought too much of goodness to our life. It has brought speed. It has brought some sort of satisfaction even because nowadays everything has become much
even
more easier.
Perfectionism.
Yeah. But that perfectionism is the thing that I have problem with.
Exactly.
So it is one of the biggest problems ever. But just as I was saying, internet has brought some really, really big problems. One of them is the thing that you mentioned, creating some people who are searching for perfectionism, which will never exist. It is something that will never be achieved.
I do agree with that point, unfortunately, because there are many celebrities. There are many people who show an unrealistic picture from life you're unable to achieve that standard of life.
That's
and
very true.
You see that, you become depressed. Oh my God, why not me?
Yeah.
Why I'm not like that? Why I cannot wear that clothes, for example? Mm-hmm. Why I cannot have that car? Why? You know, and you face
Shall
some
we
needs.
Call that hypocrisy?
Maybe, yeah.
You know, because media has made it easy for everyone to make a perfect picture of themselves, which is exactly the reverse of what they truly are.
Exactly.
I am showing how kind, how modest, how humble I am.
How beautiful you are.
Yes, how beautiful I look. My skin does not have a spot on it. Everything is just perfect and peachy. But when I when people come to dig deeper and they come to pass the surface and they get into my soul, then they would see it's empty.
Exactly.
It's a barren field.
I think the point is we are making a big gap between what we really are in this world and what we're going to be, our ideal self, you know?
Yeah.
And the more the gap is, the biggest disaster will be in the future, because you will find yourself in a situation, in a place, and in a relation that you cannot be yourself. You you make a picture of yourself which is not yourself, and that is a big catastrophe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because after a while, you will lose your true self.
You would have a double character, you know?
Exactly.
Which is a horrible thing for a human being, because when I am one person, dealing with my problems and dilemmas is going to be difficult, much less thinking about another character that I'm creating out of myself. It's going to be horrible.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, you will lose yourself. You will forget your true self. And after a while, you will get tired from what you're not. And for finding the true self that you lose, you have to waste a big amount of time again.
Yeah.
And this is a disaster.
So, but now what do you say about a break?
Exactly. I do agree with you.
So, dear listeners, I hope you're not tired. Let's go for a short break. We'll be back in no time. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Welcome back. You're listening to Youth Station. We are talking about the common problems of the youth of modern age. So we talked about plenty of those problems: indecisiveness, getting to live a double life since there's media, and we have to deal with too much of perfectionism that is an absolute lie. You're listening to Asma, and here with me I have Beta.
The thing I want to talk about right now is there are many problems. If we want to count them, get old to count them.
We would need an eternity to count them.
Exactly. And I think we have to talk about the solution to these problems more than anything. And in my opinion, one of the most important solutions for all of these problems in youth generation is goal. You have to choose a goal.
Yeah, you have to find a goal.
Exactly. And to follow
Which is
this
very
goal.
Difficult, by
know,
the way.
I know. It is difficult. And also, there are many factors in environment and the place you live and anything in your communication that will affect your goal, the way you want to choose it, the way you want to decide it. And no matter what you choose, always there are some difficulties, there are some obstacles, and you have to face them. And before you choose a goal, before you decide to do something, you have to empower yourself for these difficulties.
Yeah. And aside from that goal that you mentioned, I would like to ask you a question. What do you think about religion? Does it have any impact on solving these problems?
Exactly. Religion, I think, is a special bond with your spirituality in this world. And when you become nearer to God or you have a better communication with anything in this religion, no matter what you believe, when you believe it truly, it gives you a way. For example, you decide to do something. You have to consider some factors in this way. You shouldn't do something like, I don't know, lying. Like, one of the things which is really important in a religion is God worry and taqwa. When you're God worry.
And if you want to define taqwa, what would you call it?
It means the fear of God.
Yeah.
Not only the fear which is mixed with love.
That gives you a strain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that taqwa will restrict your actions.
Self-control. It's a self-control.
It's a self-control in a good way. Because, because the love is next to taqwa.
That is very important. So we were talking about the problems of the youth. And we said that there are a numerous amount of problems. If you want to count them, then we would need an eternity. I would write some volumes of book for that. But the thing that is going to solve it is actually the bond that we have with God. The spirituality that we experience with God is the best way to find solutions for our problems. So I know it is very difficult and it is easier said than done, but trust me, when you enrich your connection with Allah, everything is going to be easier. So thank you, dear listeners. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell. May Allah bless and protect you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, dear listeners, sisters and brothers. This is Arab English Radio. Once more, I have the honor to be here with you. You're listening to Asma. And in here, we talk basically some literary stuffs related to Ashura and the Battle of Karbala. We are talking about plenty much of artistic aspects that are involved with the topics that are related to Ashura and the battlefield of Karbala. There we talked about different forms of literary pieces that belong to the vast literature of Ashura, about the themes that reflect the goals of Ashura and shed light on the main characteristics of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his honorable, respectful companions. We even mentioned the kind of a play specialized for Ashura called Ta'ziyah. Then we talked about those specialized narrations that is a ritual in Persian Islamic heritage. We said that the main aim behind these plays and these narrations is to give a visual account of Ashura and give us the slightest feeling of sympathy and condolence. They take us through an unimaginable passion and emotion that already exists in our heart regarding our beloved Imam and his companions. Now, in today's episode, I would like to talk about a very important aspect of literature of Ashura, which is about its dynamic soul, its liveliness. That is, it never seems to be repetitive. We hear all those poems and the exact account of Battle of Karbala year after year, but it never feels as something monotonous or boring. It is like an active volcano that burns every year with the same power and vigor. Now, it's very important to take it into consideration that it is not something done by human beings. We know that this is a spiritual promise. This is the promise that God has made to his martyrs. Their name will never be forgotten and their memory will never fade away. So their name shall live forever, just like a tree that gives new branches to itself. About the story of Karbala is a little bit of different because the story that happened in there, the horrendous situation that happened to our beloved Imam and his companion, is a sort of a thing that God himself is going to retribute for that. So he himself has made a promise that he is going to be the one who takes revenge for this. So the first thing that happens is that the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam would never cease to exist. And every year it's going to be stronger. The passions are going to be deeper. And the amount of people that are going to know him, that are going to be attracted to him, is going to increase year by year. As you can see in different platforms, that there are plenty much of people who are from different religions, yet when they hear his name, their eyes will be filled with those circles of watery teardrops, and then they start crying without even knowing why, because they do not know anything about him. Just hearing the story that happened to him and his family makes our heart, any heart that has got a purity in itself or that's got some sort of insight inside of it, would get to feel the sorrow and sympathy to share with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companion.
Hope you have instilled in our heart, in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul, in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave mankind's heart its way.
So as I just told you, every year we go through the very same accounts, the very same poems, yet they are dynamic. They have the same, or let's just say, more powerful passions to share. Still, when you hear to them, you feel like you are hearing them for the first time. They seem to be very much touching, moving, and giving so much of lessons year by year. It is true that you have listened to us as Muslim people, have been involved with these stories ever since we have been children. So it is not a very strange thing for us to just feel like it's something that every year happens to us. So we should cease to be engaged in all of those things normally. But what happens in here is that the story of Ashura is different. There's no way for us to feel like bored or exhausted. There's no way for us to feel that, okay, this is something repetitive and I no longer feel like I'm engaged. No, it's no way like this. It is actually the reverse. Every year, you just take part in these ceremonies. You listen to these poems as if you are getting to know them for the first time. And every year, it is very, very strange case, you know? Every year, you start to get familiar with the different aspects of this tragic epic that happened in the Islamic history. Just as I told you, there are some factors behind this very truth. One of them is the act of God, the will of God. God himself wishes for the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to flourish everywhere and for his memory to never be forgotten or going just far away from the reach of his loved ones.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
The other factor is actually the help of these literary pieces. You know, every year there are different sessions in which poets and writers start to share their books, their new books, their new editions, their new poems, compositions, in order to make sure that the New Year's ceremony is going to be filled with some new materials. But even if there is no new material, the story of Karbala will never cease to exist. Because that is the will of God. He wants it to flourish. He wants it to bloom. And he wants the ideas behind the battlefield of Karbala to spread everywhere, to get into the heart of every pure soul that is living everywhere in this world. That was the whole thing that I just wanted to shed light upon. The liveliness and the dynamic aspect of the literature of Ashura is something that is very interesting, and also it attracts attention, really. It is something that is very strange and very interesting, and it is the will of God. So this is all the time that we had for today's episode. Thank you for staying with us.
Every grain of sand in every desert land, he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand, he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash, he knows. Every thought I had and every word I share, he knows. Allah knows.
In the limelight.
The fabricated regime of Israel is a brutal European settler colony that has been targeting Palestinians and stealing their land since its inception. Please stay with us for an article in this regard written by Hamid Dabashi, author, in an article published under the heading Gaza on Screen: How Palestinian Truth Implicates All of Humanity. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Telling you the truth, the Israeli regime military or propaganda, from which major U.S. and European media outlets, including the BBC and New York Times, take their cues, or countless Palestinian filmmakers transforming the facts of their experiences into artistic truth. Where do sublime works of art stand vis-a-vis the relentless barrage of falsehoods and propaganda that conquerors habitually spin to justify and camouflage their barbarians? What is a Ghassan Kanafani novella, a Mona Hatoum artwork, a Mahmoud Darwish poem, or an Ilya Soleiman film next to Israeli regime tanks, fighter jets, smart bombs, assassination squads, nuclear submarines, or sharpshooters? When an empire is vast and variegated like the U.S., it can afford both military thuggery around the globe and ingenious filmmakers such as Stanley Kubrick, Oliver Stone, or the Hugh brothers to dismantle the lies of those conquests. When a settler colony like the fabricated regime of Israel is too small to afford such complexities, it just bombs, maims, and murders, while its propaganda machinery does the camouflaging in manipulated news coverage. In the Palestinian case, there is no military to speak of. What they have on their side are facts and truth, truth that would have gone unheard were it not for the Palestinian poets, journalists, scholars, artists, novelists, and filmmakers. But isn't this comparing apples and oranges? The military might of a settler colony to the works of art that those under its occupation produce? But that amounts to asymmetrical warfare. Palestinians have no military, air force, or navy. The Zionists do. Palestinians do not receive billions of dollars in military aid from the U.S. and Europe. The Zionists do. Palestinians wage only a form of guerrilla warfare imposed on them by cruel fate. Militarily, Palestine is no match for the fake regime of Israel. But artistically, aesthetically, morally, and imaginatively, the Zionist regime is no match for Palestine. Take the most recent Zionist regime atrocities in Gaza earlier this month. A relentless blockade and repeated invasions of the Gaza Strip culminated in yet another war of aggression that terrorized Palestinians, destroyed their homes, and denied them their livelihoods. What is the function of Palestinian filmmakers in times of such Israeli terror? The dominant US and UK media consider themselves to be truly objective and fair when they pronounce that there are two sides of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as they claim. But there are not two sides of the Zionist regime's systematic, purposeful, and relentless occupation and theft of Palestine and the murder of Palestinians. There is only one truth, which has no sides. The fabricated regime of Israel is a brutal European settler colony that has been targeting Palestinians and stealing their land since its inception. A key element of this resistance has been cinema. With around 2 million inhabitants on some 365 square kilometers, Gaza is among the most densely populated places in the world. Many observers call it the largest open-air prison. The fabricated regime of Israel has systematically used the territory to test its most recent weaponry, causing death, destruction, and despair to Palestinian civilians. The choice of Gaza as the theme of a film festival was emblematic of the larger Palestinian question, in light of their status as victims of European colonial conquest. In Gaza's Metaphor, a 2016 collection edited by Dina Matar and Helga Tauli-Suri, insightful essays describe how Gaza has become a metaphor for the larger Palestinian struggle. It is a floating signifier, open-air prison, terror, resistance, occupation, siege, trauma. But we should not be trapped inside such metaphors. Rather, we must see through them. Their simple truths reference the disposition of a nation and its landscape of history and humanity. Palestinian art and cinema receive, recast, and reassert that history and humanity. Gaza is not a metaphor for cruel world. Gaza is that world. The battle the Israelis have lost is not a battle between two narratives. It is a battle between truth and charlatanism. More specifically, it is between the aesthetic sublimation of Palestinian truth through visual and performing arts and the banal propaganda administered by the Zionist regime spin doctors. For example, after Israeli regime forces killed more than a dozen children in their latest operation, the Zionist propaganda initially alleged Islamic Jihad was to blame for most of its deaths. There is no aesthetic sublimation of the falsehoods of Zionism, for it is bereft of any truth to raise the aesthetic sublimation. It has lost the uneven battle between the Zionist regime lies and Palestinian truth. Palestinian and other journalists, Arabs and non-Arabs, Muslims and non-Muslims, have worked tirelessly to expose these lies and report the bare facts. Gaza, the names and faces of the 17 Palestinian children killed in Israel's onslaught, reads one recent Middle East Eye headline. At least 49 Palestinians were killed and more than 360 wounded as Israeli airstrikes rained down on the besieged strip over 3 days. There is no corporate or mainstream monopoly over the news anymore. Pro-Israel outlets such as the BBC and New York Times are just a click away from countless other outlets that are doing what those institutions have failed to do. But the facts that journalists exposed never speak for themselves, they must yield to the imaginative power of the arts to find a universal tongue that the world understands best. Gaza on screen is no mere corrective lens for Zionist, European, and American propaganda. It is a perfect mirror of a heroic defiance of cruel fate. In the face of that mirror, we cannot be fatalistic, for we are witnessing a Palestinian truth that implicates the rest of humanity, and the Israelis in particular, should they ever dare to face that mirror.
This is A to Z. an introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, community environment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of community environment in the Islamic lifestyle. When we look at the Islamic studies and Islamic teachings, we see that community is a part of personal life and it is not separate from the personal life. Generally, we see that people pay attention to their personal life and they do not pay attention towards the community life or the social life or the society. And therefore, there are many things that are happening in the society and we are ignorant towards that. Especially living in the West, we have seen that if a crime is happening in the society, if in a place or a street some crime has happened, people generally try to avoid such things. They do not become witness. Why? Because it might bring some consequences for them. It might bring some kind of hardship in their life, or they might face some troubles in future. Therefore, they avoid all these things. And therefore, this avoiding the crime or avoiding the corruption that is happening in the society results in more corruption and in more crime. And God forbids us from such thing that sometime it might happen to us that we get involved and the same thing is happening with us as well. And there is no one else to help us. Therefore, Islam says that the community environment should be clean, and it can be clean only when you are paying attention towards the community, when you are attentive to the community, and when you are looking after of what is happening around you in your surroundings, and we all are answerable to what is happening in our surroundings. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of community environment in the Islamic lifestyle and its importance. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in one of his narrations, he quotes the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that the Prophet has said, "Inna al-ma'i ma'asiyata." Certainly the sin, إِذَا عَمِلَ بِهَا الْعَبْدُ سِرًّا, if a person has committed that sin in a hidden, or he has done it privately, no one knows about it, لَمْ تَذُرَّ إِلَّا عَمِلَهَا, it does not harm except the one who has performed it. وَإِذَا عَمِلَ بِهَا عَلَانِيَةً, and if he has performed it apparently in front of others in the community, then وَلَمْ يُغَيِّرْ عَلَيْهِ أَضَرَّةِ الْعَامَّةِ, and nothing will change him, one thing will bring a change to him, but except there is a harm to the public, there is a harm to the society, and it is necessary. You know, generally we see that there is, even if a small group of people, they commit sin, and if we are silent on it, if we do not raise our voice against that sin, against that corruption, against that injustice, then obviously it will slowly spread in the community. People will get habitual in seeing the sins committed by individuals in the society. For example, in the month of Ramadan, we see there are many people now that they do not fast. Initially, there were like few of them, but now we see that the number of people are growing. Why? Because when we do not raise our voice against such things, if they are not fasting, they should not show it off in the community. They should stay at home and hide the matter that they're not fasting. But when it becomes apparent in the society, the people, when they're not talking against it, it becomes something regular or something which is been happening for the times, and people start doing that, and the sins spreads and the corruption spreads in the society. Therefore, we must avoid such things, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with Friday prayer leaders from across the country in the Imam Khomeini Hosseinia on July 27, 2022.
Just being amongst the people is an important task in itself. Some people making inappropriate interpretations about the very valuable public visits of officials is wrong. In fact, these people have been misled. Going amongst the people, talking and listening to them is important. You might not agree with everything they say, but at least listen to them. There is nothing wrong with telling them you don't agree with what they're saying. This is not a problem, but let them talk. So being present amongst the people is another matter. I understand some people go to the Friday prayer leaders and ask them for things which are not a part of the Friday prayer leaders' responsibilities. A government official or some judiciary official may be responsible for that issue. Instead of going to them, they go to the Friday prayer leader who is more accessible to them. I know this exists. I've been in that situation myself. I've seen it. This creates problems for the Friday prayer leader. You need to tell people that these matters are not part of my job. And for example, there is a certain official who deals with that.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
At the same time, if people come to you, you need to listen to them. I must say, though, that up until now, the network of the Friday prayer leaders has been one of the most popular institutions of the revolution. This should also be known. That is, when one looks at the set of revolutionary institutions, which, thank Allah, have many blessings, one of the most popular revolutionary institutions is the network of the Friday prayer leaders. Another piece of advice I have, and which is very important, is communicating with the youth. In order to do this, you need to establish a process. That is, you cannot have a relationship with the youth by telling them, come, and expect them to come rushing to you. You need to sit down, think, and find a solution. You need to find a way. Today, there are voluntary, self-effacing, low-cost, unpretentious groups all over the country who do cultural work, social work, and some that provide services to others. They are everywhere in the country. I have a special interest in these groups. That is why they sometimes call and explain some issue, or they want something. I know there are groups like this all over the country, and they exist in almost all the big and small cities. Search for them in your city. Find them, help them, support and encourage them. These groups are made up of young people.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pureza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Iran's Kish airline is back to Afghanistan. Afghan and Iranian officials have welcomed this in a ceremony at Kabul's International Airport and stressed the importance of closer economic cooperation between the two countries.
We're happy today and welcome Air Kish Airline. We have very good relations with the Islamic Republic of Iran and do our best to expand cooperation in the political, economic and social fields.
This airway can be very helpful in the economic and cultural fields. I think such flights will soon be welcomed by other airlines as well, and that makes transportation between the two countries easier.
Iran has always tried to help boost Afghanistan's economy, and the resumption of Kish Air flights to Afghanistan can be considered another positive step in that regard.
Considering the changes that have taken place in Afghanistan since last year, the number of people coming from Afghanistan to Iran has risen, and that demand should be met. This is not enough, and we need to do more, and such activities are very effective in boosting economic relations between the two countries.
In recent months, Afghanistan has been deprived of many sources of international aid and even its own financial assets held in the United States. Now, Afghanistan's cooperation with Iran appears to be vital to the country's economic growth.
Such economic activities in cooperation with other neighboring countries promise the improvement of Afghanistan's economy by providing job and investment opportunities for people and for businessmen. Abdullah Amirzadeh, Kabul.
On Thursday, Italy's outgoing government discussed an energy-saving plan during a council of ministers aimed to save up for this winter as part of efforts to reduce the country's dependency on Russian gas. Ecological Transition Minister Roberto Cingolani's plan includes limiting the use of heating in apartment blocks and public buildings. Italians will be demanded to turn down the central heating by 1 degree and turn it off for an hour at dusk every day starting in October. Italy is struggling with increased energy costs as wholesale gas prices have surged to historic levels across Europe since the start of the conflict in Ukraine.
Italy and a few other countries, including Belgium and the Czech Republic, are among those seeking an EU price cap on gas for power, but some members of the bloc, including France, are against this option. An emergency meeting of European Union energy ministers will be held in Brussels on September 9 to reach a consensus on tackling skyrocketing power costs.
We have a big gas problem. Our families and businesses are struggling, and politicians keep talking about making more debt to alleviate the crisis. But that would just be a patchwork. Italy must leave the TTF, the virtual trading point for natural gas based in the Netherlands, and then we can discuss a new LNG strategy.
Meanwhile, the Italian Confederation of Enterprises, Confcommercio, has warned some 120,000 Italian service sector firms could go out of business over the next 10 months.
I costi dell'energia sono ormai la vera emergenza.
The rise of energy costs is the real emergency. Service sector firms will spend a total of 33 billion euros on energy bills, 3 times as much as in 2021. The government must speed up the procedures to access the funds of the EU Energy Recovery Fund and to make sure that a price cap on gas for power is adopted.
If energy costs keep rising at the current pace, Confcommercio, which has estimated that 370,000 jobs are at risk, is calling on the government to extend tax relief and to mandate that bills can be paid in smaller installments. The bad news for Italy doesn't stop there. Inflation jumped to 9% in August from 8.4% the month before. Financial analysts expect inflation to grow further, reaching 10% in October. Max Civili, Rome.
CGTN think tank showed that
the China Global Television Network and Chinese Public Opinion Institute have conducted a survey in Afghanistan and 24 global countries to assess the 20-year American war on Afghanistan.
Now, the Taliban will pay a price.
At the beginning of its presence in Afghanistan, the U.S. made a commitment to build a stable, strong, and prosperous Afghanistan, claiming it would establish democracy, fight against terrorism, and rebuild the nation. Nearly 79% of the Afghan respondents polled said the U.S. did not keep its promise, while 80% termed the U.S. war in their country a complete failure.
The U.S. never abided by its promises. Current disasters in Afghanistan have all resulted from the U.S. failures. We would witness better days today if the U.S. hadn't occupied our country. 20 years ago, the Taliban were ruling Afghanistan, and today they have control again. So what did the years of U.S. war and huge expenses change in our country? The U.S. claimed to bring prosperity in Afghanistan. Instead, it destroyed everything.
During the war, Afghanistan faced severe challenges with regards to security, economy, and people's livelihoods. Some 56.6% of Afghan respondents said the U.S. left the Afghan economy worse than it was in 2001. Yet 80% of global respondents believe that the causes of local terrorism still exist in the war-ravaged country.
I've been in Afghanistan through the U.S. invasion. I agree with the results of the poll. The U.S. came to our country claiming to counter terrorism and help the Afghan economy grow, but practically none of them materialized. The U.S. institutionalized fraud and abuse. As a result, today Afghans don't have food to eat and terrorism threats are rising.
Meanwhile, 68% of the respondents said the U.S. war in Afghanistan has caused the U.S. to continue to lose its credibility with the international community. Some 65% of those surveyed in Afghanistan said they believe neighboring countries, including Iran, Pakistan and China, play a key role in the rebuilding of the war-battered nation. 70% of global respondents described Washington seizing Afghanistan's assets as pure looting. They called on the U.S. to return Afghans' money. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
On the 44th anniversary of the disappearance of Imam Musa Sadr, Lebanese Parliament Speaker Nabih Biri stressed that the kidnapping of the prominent Shiite cleric was a crime that is a sovereign Lebanese case.
The failure of the current Libyan authorities to cooperate with the Lebanese authorities is considered to be collusion. The Arab League must press the authorities to cooperate.
Commenting on the issue of the demarcation of the country's southern maritime border with the Israeli occupying regime, the House Speaker accused the U.S. and